You've heard that time is money. Well, consider this an investment on a way to building wealth that's always right on the money. We're sitting down with local experts that all have a mind for money.
Hello and welcome to A Mind for Money with Citizens Bank. My name is Timmy Stanfer, and as always, I am your host. And today with me, we have Kelly joining us once again to talk to us about a different topic in the world of mortgages. Today, we are going to be talking about a slightly different topic and something that we actually don't specifically take care of here at the bank, but we do have some people we reference to when we have these types of situations, but that is reverse mortgages. So Kelly, thanks so much for coming back on and talking with us. Can you tell us again what it is you do here at the bank?
Yeah, thanks for having me back. So my name is Kelly Jensen, and I am the Senior Vice President of the Consumer Mortgage Lending Division. So I manage the team of salespeople and the backroom staff to get mortgages done. I have worked here for 19 years, and I have worked in various areas and facets of the loan department and have been able to kind of work my way up. So I've it's been a good experience.
Yep, Kelly knows a lot about loans. And again, we don't specifically do reverse mortgages here at Citizens Bank. It is a more niche market, but we have worked with a lot of customers who ended up going through with them because as you get older, you may find that your income streams become less. And what a lot of people end up finding out, unfortunately, as they get older, is the amount of assets and equity they may have may be very, very high, but then the physical cash they have to live with is very low. You know, they may have a lot of value in the things they own, or specifically the house that they own, but the money, the purchasing power they have as an individual is low because their income streams may be less. Maybe they didn't save up that much for retirement, or maybe their Social Security is getting lower because maybe they're living for quite a long time, which can be a good thing, but over time, things like your Social Security amount gets less and less in situations like that. So an option that exists to potentially increase the cash flow of someone who's gotten older and is, you know, asset rich but cash poor is a reverse mortgage. Can you tell us what, you know, in general terms, a reverse mortgage is?
Sure. So a reverse mortgage is a loan that will be very beneficial for anybody who is 62 years or older, and it allows them to tap into that equity that you had said, you know, that they've built up over many years. So they can tap into that equity that they have gained over the years, and we can structure it accordingly so that, like the name states, reverse mortgage, it's where the bank actually pays you money based off of that mortgage.
Yeah. So kind of like Kelly said, it's interesting because it really does work in reverse. You know, if with a normal mortgage, like most people think of, when you get the loan, there is a principal balance. You know, that's the loan amount, the amount that you owe, that the bank has ownership over effectively. And then as you pay it down every month, that balance of your loan goes down. Well, in this case, it's typically the opposite, where it starts at, you know, a zero balance or whatever, a very small balance if you got a small cash out or something. And then every month, the bank pays you out instead of you paying the bank, but then they slowly own more and more of that house every month as they make the payment. I mean, as we'll talk about, there are some situations where you could do like a lump sum cash out. That's not as common, I know, but it is an option. So how does the reverse mortgage get structured? In the mortgage world, most people, when they think mortgage, they're thinking, you know, like a 30-year fixed or a 15-year fixed. What is it, you know, what are kind of the norms for the reverse mortgages?
Yeah, so a reverse mortgage is structured. There's various ways you can structure it, much like any other mortgage. But the typical most common is the home equity conversion mortgage, also known as the HECM. So similar to a traditional mortgage, a customer applies for the mortgage, and they are picking a principal loan amount that they want to do, and they are approved based on, you know, what they're applying for. And then typically some of the things that they're going to look at is your age, your equity you have in the home. There are limits for the type of program, the HECM program, so they'll look at that as well. But typically, the older you are, the lower the interest rates are, or the more value you have in the home, that is going to allow you to borrow more against the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of interesting when you think about a normal mortgage process. One of the big factors is your income, and they can't consider your age. Well, it's very different in this type of situation where age is a big factor, and your income doesn't matter in the same way because you're trying to supplement your income, and you're not paying into the mortgage. They're paying you out. So it's an interesting kind of flip of perspective, the aspects of underwriting that they're looking at when they're considering a reverse mortgage versus a traditional mortgage, because the payments are going in reverse. So there's different things the bank has to be concerned about. You know, the bank, instead of the bank worrying to make sure that you have enough money to pay it every month, they're more worrying, okay, well, how long do we think you're gonna live, basically, and how much is your house worth? That matters in both situations. But then, you know, that can affect what the payment's gonna be that you could potentially get, and like you said, maybe the interest rates too. And so how do the payments from the bank to the homeowner typically work? I know we've touched on it quite a bit already, but I know there's different types of mortgages.
Yeah, so the loan can be structured a couple different ways, as I said before, but there's typically a lump sum payment, or there is the option to have a monthly payment. Mm-hmm. So typically, if you're going with a fixed rate loan, that's going to be paid to you at closing in a giant lump sum. Mm-hmm. And then you use that income or that that money as needed. If you're doing a variable rate, then you're typically paid monthly, and you receive that money monthly instead of in a lump sum.
Yeah, because with the fixed rate, it's easier to underwrite out, you know, how much interest to build in when they pay you out instantly, versus if the rates are going to be varying, it's going to change month to month. So it's, you know, hard to determine how much they should pay you. So they stick with the monthly payments. So so when you get the mortgage, I know obviously it's going to differ if you have the lump sum or the monthly payments. How does that affect the equity that you have in your home?
Sure. So the equity is going to be affected depending on which option you take for the structure, whether it's a lump sum or whether it be the monthly payments. So what happens is, if you have done the lump sum payment, you're essentially tapping in or tying up that equity right away all at mm-hmm. once. If you do the variable rate where you're getting paid monthly, then you are going to be tying up that equity over a long period of time that mm-hmm. you're being paid those monthly payments.
Yeah, I guess the way you could look at it is, like, you know, with the lump sum payment, it's kind of like a normal mortgage where all the equity is tapped into at once mm-hmm. and, you know, but you won't be paying down that balance. It'll just be there until typically someone passes away or you sell the home or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the other one's almost like a credit card balance, where it's, you know, that balance is slowly getting higher and higher and higher, and you don't need to pay it off by a certain date necessarily, unless there's some sort of agreement in the mortgage, or you pay it, you sell the house, or, you know, obviously you can't carry mortgages if you sell your home. But then that kind of leads us into the next question.
Yeah.
What happens to that reverse mortgage if the homeowner were to pass away? Obviously, if they sell the house, you have to pay off any liens against the home with any proceeds you make. What happens if someone were to pass away?
Yeah, so the reverse mortgage is handled just like any other mortgage would be when somebody passes away. Mm-hmm. It's got to be settled as part of the estate. Mm-hmm. And depending on whether, if you have heirs that want the property, they can refinance that reverse mortgage into their name and then take it over and start making payments on it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if there's no heirs that want the property, then that lien is just paid off, like you said, when the house sells.
Yeah, and there's something a little different in the situation with a reverse mortgage than a regular mortgage when someone passes away. In the situation where, you know, someone who has a typical 30-year mortgage passes away, the bank's not going to be as antsy typically to get it paid off, as long as people are still paying it. I mean, the bank obviously wants that taken care of, put in a new name, but they're going to be way more lenient on a normal mortgage, because you can still pay towards it. And, you know, as far as the bank cares, they're still getting their payments and they're making interest. It doesn't really matter. In the reverse mortgage situation, they're not making any more payouts. They're not, you know, gaining, you know, anything more beneficial by it sitting out there. So once someone with a reverse mortgage passes away, typically the bank does want that settled in a timely manner. You know, it might depend on the situation, and there can be ways to work out with the bank if an extension is needed because of complicated estate. You know, you may have lawyers involved, stuff like that. But there is a little bit of a difference in that regard, because, like I said, when there is a normal mortgage, you can still pay that mortgage. You know, the lien holder may not be alive, but the bank's still getting their money, so they aren't as pressed to get it done. You know, if you had a normal mortgage and someone passed away and you weren't making the payments, then they would start foreclosure and stuff like that.
Yes.
But,
mm-hmm.
So Where can someone get a reverse mortgage? Like I said, I know we don't have them here. Not all banks or credit unions have them. Where would you typically recommend someone goes to find one?
Yeah, so like you said, not all banks are going to offer reverse mortgages. They're really a specialized product. So it's best to really take a do a little research to see if there's any mortgage companies out there that do it or any other local banks that do it. And you really want to see somebody that specializes in it because they'll really be able to help you.
Yeah, and typically, yeah, like Kelly just said, there someone who does reverse mortgages, that'll be something they do a lot of. Mm-hmm. And I would recommend going to someone who does it a lot just because then your experience is going to be a lot more smooth. They still may be capable if they don't do it as often, but it just might be a little, experience is important. It might be a little clunky sometimes if you go to someone who does one every 3 years versus someone who's doing three or four a month or more. So then, the end question is, we've gone pretty quickly through a lot of different details on reverse mortgages here. Who should consider getting a reverse mortgage and, is it like a scary thing to do or is it, a good idea?
It is a good idea. And it's, like I said, you have to be 62 or older to qualify, but it's really good for the consumer who has a lot of equity in their home. Mm-hmm. They want to stay in their home, mm-hmm. but maybe they don't have the income to be able to, sufficiently live and keep the house. So what will happen is that will be a great opportunity for those people who want to maintain their kind of standard of living that they're used to, mm-hmm. because it'll really help supplement their income.
Yeah, and something I found in my life that made a lot of sense when my grandmother was getting older, she definitely wanted to stay in the house. And something that happens to a lot of people as they get older is they need some sort of care, and a lot of times the main thing people think of is moving into a nursing home type facility where there is care there. And if you are in depending on the level of care you need, that may be required if you need more constant help. But for a lot of people in a more transitional era of their life, you don't necessarily need all the care all the time.
Right.
And there are a lot of great companies out there that do home health care visits or daily check-ins, yep. and all of that stuff. And depending on the type of service, a lot of times that's a lot cheaper too, because you're not paying for somewhere to live. So it's a really great option to consider for someone who is starting to get that transitional phase where maybe they need some care, some people regularly to check in on them. But they don't necessarily need to go and live somewhere where they need constant supervision. So you can still maintain the comfort of your home and utilize all that equity that's in your home. And I would also say don't let your kids or your heirs, if they're being greedy or frustrating, try to talk you out of tapping into your equity to make your quality of life better, because it's your money. You should make your quality of life as good as possible. And unfortunately, there's some people out there that might get frustrated that you're spending your equity or something to increase your quality of life, which is obviously very selfish, and we don't like seeing that. And unfortunately, that's another aspect of elder abuse that happens, is people kind of let their parents or grandparents neglect themselves when they could be getting better help.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different topic, but it's a great way to, maybe you still have a good amount of income, but it's just not going to be enough for you to pay to keep your house and also get that care you need. It can be a great way to still live in your house and get a lot of that care. And maybe in the long run, you will have to sell the house and move somewhere else, but you can deal with that when you get to that point too.
Exactly.
A reverse mortgage does not stop you from selling your house, which is very important. So you can get a reverse mortgage, then down the road you decide you do ultimately need to move out, the house is too much, whatever. You can do that. You could also use that money to pay for something a lot of people run into when they have bigger homes as they're older, is they feel like it's too much space to clean. I mean, you can pay for cleaning services if you want to, if you have that equity. And, there's things you can use that equity for that can help maintain the quality of life you want within your home and not have to give up your home if you don't necessarily want to. But with that, Kelly, do you have any closing thoughts or anything?
No, I would just say, it isn't a scary thing to do. It makes a lot of sense in the right situation. It is a safety net. You've spent your entire life, saving up and buying the house and paying into it. It doesn't mean that it's not something you can still tap into. Mm-hmm. So definitely keep that in mind as an important resource for the future.
Mm-hmm. And, you can always start by talking to your bank and looking at traditional lending options. That is something we have run into a lot, in my days in lending, and I'm sure Kelly has as well, where someone originally is looking to serve some additional cash flow. They want to do a traditional mortgage, but maybe they don't have the income to support it. And that's typically when we'll look at a reverse mortgage, not necessarily as like a last option, just as an alternative option, which is right for certain people who are in situations who are basically looking to increase that cash flow. So.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to start at your bank, because even if they don't do them, they probably have a resource that they could refer you to.
Yeah, they probably have a lender they trust that they can get you hooked up with and working with to go through the reverse mortgage process.
Yep, for sure.
So with that, Kelly, thanks again for coming and chatting with us about loans and reverse mortgages specifically. If you have any questions, suggestions, or feedback on episodes or anything, feel free to email me directly at heytimmy@amindformoney.com. That's HEYTIMMY @amindformoney.com. And we hope you have a great rest of your day.